Let me go to the newsmaker line, and standing by is our special guest for this portion of the program today. From Every Black Life Matter, Life Matters, it's Kevin McGarry. Kevin, good afternoon to you, sir. Welcome to the program.
Hey there, Pat. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I've been looking forward to having you. We are in our country, I think, Kevin, we're being pulled apart, sometimes by people that we think exactly opposite of what they think, and sometimes we're pulled apart even from people that think very closely to what we think. I want to talk to you for a minute about Black Lives Matter before we talk about Every Black Life Matters. Black Lives Matter, as an organization, in my view, and I'm not black and I didn't grow up black and I'm not a member of that organization or yours, but it just appears to me, Kevin, that they are not always functioning where the lives of the black people on the streets here in Fort Wayne or in Indianapolis or New York, they're always there speaking for those people or doing the best for their future. Am I misreading this?
No, I think you have it exactly right. Black Lives Matter is an organization that is not really about black lives. And that was part of the impetus for us to start Every Black Life Matters. What we saw was the rage, the carnage, the violence, the burning of black and brown businesses and throughout America last summer. And we saw where Black Lives Matter stood on a lot of these issues, including destruction of nuclear family, anti-father, pro-Marxism, pro-violence, obviously, and so many other things that just really didn't make any difference, actually exacerbated black existence. So we said, you know, we really, you know, this BLM has a lot of momentum, and we should get in that exact same space, but reframe all of the fundamental arguments and stand up for black life from the womb to the tomb, from conception to the grave, because we don't have any black organizations today that really take that kind of a stance. So we stand for black life, again, from conception to the grave, pro-fatherhood, pro-nuclear family, pro-free markets and capitalism, pro-school choice, nonviolent. I mean, we are the antithesis of BLM because these are the things that make a big difference in black life.
What happens with your organization and with you when you speak or you reach out or you try to touch communities that are predominantly where black lives are? Are they open to you? Do they think that you're just like Black Lives Matter, but you're maybe a little different? Or are they, do some of them sometimes realize just how different your organization is and that you really do speak to the problems that they have? I mean, we can scream about Black Lives Matter, but when children are still being murdered in Chicago, when black children still do not get the education that they should get, even though equal opportunity is there, we're getting ready, in my view, Kevin, we're getting ready to lose another whole community, another whole generation of black lives if we're not real careful.
That's exactly right. Actually, the reception for us has been really, really quite well. It's hard to argue. You know, if somebody comes up to us and says, hey, Black Lives Matter, and put their arm up in a salute, we step to them, right, and we put a finger in their chest, and you say, you know what? To me, every single black life matters. Now, does every single black life matter to you? I'd encourage you and your audience to use that, because that is really it really kind of discombobulates their entire talking point, and they don't really know what to say with that. And then it gives us the opportunity to say, you know what? We recognize that Planned Parenthood is disproportionately trying to exterminate black life. And we stand with Every Black Life Matters because that's an organization that's really taking, you know, these abortuaries to task about, you know, exterminating black life and black babies disproportionately. And so that's important, isn't it? And then they have to answer that. And so, and we take them through a number of those types of sequences. Certainly, disproportionately, it seems like the educational institutions are not really, you know, allowing a whole lot of black students to participate because we don't have school choice programs. That's important for black life, isn't it? I mean, so these types of commentaries that we can go through with people who are Black Lives Matter adherents really helps them to kind of come along. Actually, and the overarching theme is this: black lives cannot matter generally until and if until there's such time that every single black life matters specifically. So I hope that makes sense. You can't say black lives matter generally unless you fundamentally believe that every single black life matters specifically. And if it doesn't, then that confirms that you're a hypocrite or you're a political activist or you have some other marching orders that you're going by.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You talk about confronting injustice and deconstructing barriers inside and outside of the community of blacks. And that would sound a lot like some other groups. But when you frame that under the idea that you desire to protect black life from conception to death, that doesn't necessarily ring true, and maybe not with a whole lot of people in the black community, but in the community as a whole. When you start getting in the way of the Planned Parenthood mentality, that's where some real kickback comes, and they will scream at you and say, well, don't you care about the black people, because why should a black woman have to carry a child to term and blah, blah, blah. We have lost a whole generation of blacks, and I'm sure you know this, but we've lost a whole generation of them, Kevin, because nobody has been killed by Planned Parenthood or other abortion providers to the numbers that black lives have been killed.
Exactly right. When people start down that line, what we basically tell them is, look, hold up, let's just go by the statistics real quick. Let me just tell you the truth. Planned Parenthood was started by a woman who absolutely hated blacks. She was a white supremacist. She was a women's KKK member and frequent speaker. And her number one reason for starting Planned Parenthood was, she says, we don't want the word to get out, but we want to fully exterminate the Negro population. Mm-hmm. And I encourage them, look, do your research, check it out. It's there. It's available. So that was why Planned Parenthood was started. Now, so it was started fundamentally on a systemically racist notion from a white supremacist. Now, if you're with me and you say that you're all about justice, you're all about, you know, eliminating systemic racism, this should be a concern for you. And then they stammer. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then we go through the stats. We say, look, Planned Parenthood strategically has put, 80 to 90% of their abortuaries in black urban communities, within walking distance of black and urban communities in general. And that has led to blacks making up over 40% of all abortions that are performed in the United States. Well, we're only 13% of the population. Actually, it's even worse than that. If you consider the 13%, that's male and female. If you consider just female, that's 6%. If you consider childbearing age, that's 15 to 44, that would be 3%. So for a 3% demographic, you're going to put 90%, upwards of 90% of your abortion clinics and for a 3% demographic. That confirms right there, there's a strategy to this. This is not sort of by, these clinics just virally sort of, went into these communities. So when people see that, then they're really quite astonished at the reality of what's happening and why it's been happening to our community.
Not that you enjoy helping somebody to realize how bad abortion is, but I mean, isn't it somewhat rewarding when you're talking to somebody primarily from the black community and you point out what a small number of abortion candidates there are, respective to percentage of the nation, and how high the abortion rate is for people of color? It's almost a slap your forehead moment, isn't it?
It really is. It's a real wake-up call, and it should be a wake-up call to us all. I'm trying to encourage everyone. Look, we have a lot of social justice warriors out there. We have a lot of people that say they're standing up against systemic racism. Okay. If you're sincere about that, look at this issue. This should be number one of the issue that you're looking at, and that would be Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. You know, if even the Planned Parenthood of New York came out in July of last year and said, yeah, well, our founder was a racist bigot. She hated blacks. And you know, and to that, in that regard, we are systemically racist. Then you would figure that everybody else would tie on to that as well. But for some reason, we're slowing the uptake. I mean, if Planned Parenthood themselves say, you know, we've been jacked up and actually targeting black communities, you would think that everybody would, that there would have been articles about it, and we would have had marches. BLM should have been the first one to take that march if they were sincere about trying to maintain black life.
Yeah, if they were, if they're trying to live up to their nomenclature, you're exactly right. Let me read just one thing that, that is said here in your notes about your organization. And again, talking to Kevin McGarrig, very glad to speak with him and his group, Every Black Life Matters. When you talk about this, you say, a just response to injustices gripping America must begin with an embrace of life, all life, even life in the womb, then an embrace of intentional impartiality. And this means we reject nomenclature and movements that separate and divide us. So, yeah, you stand for black lives and they're mattering, but things like white supremacy, white fragility, the 1619 Project, that can't be coming out of the other side of your mouth, that those things matter, if you really believe that black lives matter.
Absolutely, absolutely. Before anybody would agree with white, you know, here's the other thing. Critical race theorists and their proponents, the people who are, you know, espousing all of these sort of weird narratives about this, you know, race stuff. What's really a disconnect with those people is that all of them are pro-aborts. So I encourage all of them, look, Rob, Miss D'Angelo, Mr. Kendi, if you guys are sincere, come and march with us to the nearest Planned Parenthood. Let's just, you know, put our mouths and our money and our time where it needs to be, if we're sincere about, you know, trying to confirm and then prevent systemic racism. Let's do this together. But they won't do that. These people are hypocrites. They're cowards. And they're really just trying to divide America. In my opinion, they would like to accelerate our regression to the point that we become part of a global, the global community. And this is rapidly accelerating to some sort of reset of some sort.
Yeah, Kevin, listen, thanks so much for today. My enemy is always the clock, especially when I get on a guest that I just really like. I think you and I could have gone two or three complete shows together, just the two of us.
Absolutely.
The time marches on, as you know. Here's what we're going to do. Folks, this interview that I'm doing with Kevin will be up on our website in a matter of moments, and then we'll also have an address where you can go and follow more of what it is that's happening with the group Every Black Life Matters, and that'll be up in moments. Producer John will take care of that. This will not be the last time we have you on, but for today, Kevin McGarrig, listen, thank you so very, very much for your time today, sir.
Thank you. Everyblm.com. Everyblm.com. Thank you.
Podcasts by Federated Media.